Ladies and gentlemen, we're going wild tonight. We've gone off the rails already. We didn't even hit record yet, and we were already off the rails. This is a special bonus episode. You're not going to find this labeled in season X, episode Y. It's not going to happen because this is a one-offer. I'm here with the Burt to my Rogan, Matt Blank. Welcome, buddy.
Good evening, sir.
Here we are, and we are not talking about business today. We're not talking about career ambitions and what do you want to do with your life and how do you balance work and home. No one cares. We are talking about the big game on Sunday. And that, do we have to call it that? What are the rules?
I think we need to call it. I mean, if you plan on, you know, selling this to Spotify at some point in life, I think you should stay within your license trademark issues you have here.
So the big game of footballers amongst teams that we shall not even specify coming up this Sunday.
In post-production, can you put in some horns that burp, 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 burp.
The Tampa Buccaneers.
I love a good soundtrack to a football. You remember like NFL films used to do that back in the day? They used to have the really good
Oh my gosh.
It was almost like you were going into like the Revolutionary War watching the Chicago Bears play the Houston Oilers.
The Chicago Bears against the Packers of Green Bay.
You know what's funny about the Chicago Bears? I was reading today. I know we were going to talk about different things. And one of the things I thought would be cool tonight to talk about, and I know you said the same thing, was about prop bets. And do you know that the first prop bet, the proposition bet, was formed by one of the casinos because they wanted to create more interest in the Super Bowl? Because for a while there, all the Super Bowls were blowouts. So the first bet was actually around one Chicago Bearian, William Perry, a.k.a. The Fridge. Did you know that was the first prop bet ever offered?
Was it whether the Fridge would score a touchdown, like as a running back?
Because he scored, I think, 4 or 5 touchdowns that year, and he hadn't scored one in 2 months. So one of the directors of the casino said, let's figure out a way to get people interested in outside things in the game, not just the outcome. And he offered it at 20-1. In one of the sports books in Vegas. Another sports book picked it up, and it got so popular that just before kickoff, it dropped to 2-1. And, wow. And as legend has it, the last touchdown on a 1 yard line, Gary Payton had yet to score a touchdown. Not Gary Payton. Who was the running back from the Bears? Not Gary Payton. He was the Seattle Seahawks, the Supersonics.
Walter Payton. Yeah.
Gary's brother.
Gary's uncle. Gary's uncle.
He's older. But yeah, the great Walter Payton, yes. He hadn't scored a touchdown yet, and everyone thought it was going to go to him, but in comes the Fridge, and there goes out Vegas's money.
He pounded it in there, that big giant man.
350-pound man. I would be pretty scared if I were on the other side of that and he was running at me.
Did he have a stint with the Eagles?
I don't remember. I'm not a history sports buff. We need a Googler, like one other podcast legend here.
I'm already on it. Hold on. William.
I'll just call backfill as you do that. It was a great bet, as legend would have it.
Oh, buddy. Check this out. 1994. Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
Yeah, 94. I knew he did. I knew he had 1 year. He played 16 games with the Eagles. He had 52 tackles, 34 solo, 18 assists. And did he play when – what's interesting is they only started tracking sacks in the NFL like pretty late. Like you'd be surprised kind of how late it was. And because I'm on his stat page right now, I don't even see any sacks.
Yeah.
At all. But, they're right here. What am I saying? He had, he didn't have a lot of sacks in his career because he's such a big guy that just plugged up the middle, you know?
He had some years where he had like five sacks. Mostly a run NFL at that point, too, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tony, but I remember him.
In 94, Tony, did you have a starter pullover jacket?
Yeah, of course I did.
Was it an
I had starter, play? And I think I had an Apex as well.
Oh.
I think I had the Apex first. That was kind of the lower – that was like starter's little brother was Apex, you know? Yeah.
That was it. Yeah. I always had to go to Foreman Mills because we didn't live too well in Northeast Philadelphia. So I got Starter's little brother, but I had the Niners, the Hornets. I didn't have an Eagle. I had the Niners and the Hornets. They were my two that I had.
There's a picture of me on Facebook with my buddy Will, and he's a couple years older than me. So he was probably 13 and I was maybe like 11. And it's a picture of him in Kansas City Chiefs gear. He was a big Chiefs fan growing up. I don't even know how that happened. So maybe he's stoked for the big game this weekend. But and I had the number 32 Orlando Magic Shaq jersey on.
Mm.
Yeah, I had the Larry Johnson Charlotte Hornets. I think a lot of kids had that.
That was the good one.
Yeah, and I had I don't know if I had a Jordan jersey or not. I should have. I loved them so much, but.
That was another.
Yeah, I had the Shaq one. Yeah.
That was another cross prop bet that I saw. Was the first cross prop bet, meaning that it wasn't just the game, was who would score more points. And I forget what Super Bowl it was, the Niners or Michael Jordan in that same game that night. And the Niners of San Francisco outscored Jordan 55-34, I believe that was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's I can remember there was a string of Super Bowls or big games, whatever you want to say, Roger Goodell, come find me if you want, I don't care. Where there was just a string of just huge blowouts. I think it was the mid to late 90s, because they had the 4 years of the Bills, and actually one or two of those were a blowout, but a couple were close. And I remember, I think it was Niners Chargers 1 year that was just an ugly lopsided game. And I'm looking it up now. Yes, that was 95. That was 49-26, San Fran. That might have been the one you were talking about.
I think it was.
Yeah. And yeah, because let me ask you this. Did you have, and I don't think this is a violation. I don't. I know we're both hardcore sports fans and we stay loyal to our teams. But did you have like second teams when you were growing up, like in a sport, if the Philly teams were terrible, which was usually the case in most sports in our childhood?
Yeah.
Did you have like a second team you rooted for in football?
Football was the Niners because my cousin or my second cousin was an offensive guard for the San Francisco 49ers by the name of Ralph Tam. Shout out to the mom side of my family, the Tam family. You Google him. He was number 64 on the Niners, and then he played for the Broncos for a little bit.
Got him. Ralph Tam with two M's. You tricked me with two M's.
Yeah, I don't know where he is. Never met him. He probably wouldn't know me if I shook his hand, but I still have something from him back when I was little. So, yeah, I do have a family member that has NFL pedigree. That's probably why I was a backup kicker in college. I mean, I don't know where I got it from, but – maybe from good old Ralphie.
Now you lined up for the opening kickoff, Millersville University. Is it Millersville College or University?
University. And yeah. That was a 1 year of sports and becoming an orientation leader after that. An RA changed my life, I shall say, because I didn't have to get up for 5 a.m. Team meetings as the backup kicker. And I have to meet all kinds of great people and get me where I'm at today. So I'm really pumped for my small collegiate college career.
Yeah. Well, I can relate to that. 1 year of Villanova baseball and dropped after that. But I don't know if I've even told you this before, but maybe I did. I was a soccer player in high school. And my freshman year in the spring, I was playing travel soccer on the weekends, which was a bad idea because I'm playing baseball at the same time. So I should have been sticking to just baseball and, you know, keeping myself healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm playing a game in the spring, travel soccer. I get slide tackled, tibia, fibula, break, both completely. Mm. Like nasty, you know? I'm on my ass for just, you know, 6 months or something like that. And so, yeah, so the fall rolled around. And so it was about August or so. And I'm feeling better, but, you know, I don't have any strength back in my leg yet. It was my left leg that I broke. So I was, you know, right footed. And so I'm like, well, I'm not really ready to go back and play soccer yet because I can't really run. So I'm like, what can I do? And I think it was my dad or somebody one day were like, oh, why don't you try kicking field goals? And I bought a tee, I bought some balls, I went out there, and I was banging them pretty good. I was hitting from, you know, no problem from 35, 40. I was okay. I could hit one here and there. And I think the longest I ever made in practice was 45. I might've eked one out there, you know, and that's not with anybody snapping or a rush coming or whatever. So I decided like, all right, I'm going to try out for the football team as a kicker. And I did it for, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks. And I couldn't tolerate the practice. I just stood there for like 2.5 hours and then kicked for 15 minutes at the end. And it was just like, I'm like, I just can't. And by that, then I'm starting to feel better. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go back to soccer. But probably the dumbest thing I ever did, because if I really committed to it, I could have probably been pretty good. You know, maybe got a college scholarship somewhere. But just because I was a bored 15-year-old kid, I was just like, nah, screw this. I don't like it. You know,
you might be in media week right now, getting ready for the big game on Sunday.
Yeah, I might be.
Stay with it.
Juliana, 38. He still got some leg left in him, the old man.
He only had one double doink in his life.
But, you know, I did. You do know the story of me kicking the field goal at the Eagles game, where that would eventually come back into play circa 07 when I'm about 25. And I weaseled my way into getting selected for the field goal kicking contest and made it and won tickets to the last game and kicked to win a car. But it came down to me and one other guy out of the four, and I missed right by about a foot. And
he won. Man. What kind of car was it?
A Jeep Patriot.
Ooh.
Yeah. You want a lease on a Jeep Patriot. So I had a decent car at the time. I was like, I don't even really like that car that much. You can keep your car. You know, Jeff Lurie, keep your car.
Yeah, the wind probably just picked up at the last second to push it right.
You know what I did?
Story, well, I was before we get into the game. I played soccer my whole life too. I was a stopper, and I was the big kid that had the big boot. You know, I loved indoor soccer, specifically in the 90s, because they still played in the gymnasiums where you could boot the ball off the side of the wall and throw somebody into the wall. I got kicked out of the Archbishop Ryan tournament one year because I hit check somebody into the wall. And got maybe the parents had a scuffle afterwards. Who knows? I don't know. But I remember playing for FC Bayern, and that's, I think it was maybe my third or fourth year. We had a new coach come in, and I couldn't juggle the ball more than like four or five times because I had like. So I ended up getting cut from that team, and I told my dad I always wanted to try to play football. So as a 135-pounder, I played for Liberty Bell, and I tried out to be a tight end and played that year. I guess we never really had a kicker, and someone asked, can anybody kick? And I said, I played soccer my whole life. He said, put the ball down, let Blaine kick it. And just like you, for some reason, it just clicked, 30, 40. The most I've ever hit in high school practice was 52 or 53.
Wow, that's big. That's long.
And I didn't get recruited for Millersville. I just kind of put together my own little like hype mixtape, like, hey, look at me, guys. I look back on those times and, baseball, probably soccer would have been more of a route, but, made us who we are today.
Yeah, definitely, man.
And, what are you doing? What are you doing for the game on Sunday?
The big game. Are we done with our reliving our athletic career now?
Yeah,
no one's listening anymore.
Only 4 minutes of my career. I'll need to be Al Bundy.
What am I doing? So, obviously crazy times. We're chilling. We're hanging out at the house. We're not doing anything. But, in years past, we would definitely get into it, go over to friends' house, family, hang out with Big Phil and the crew, do it up as any good American family would. You get some wings, you get some beers. You get some subs down in South Jersey from Dino's Subs in Margate or Chico's Subs in Northfield.
Are they sponsoring this podcast or are you trying to get free hoagies?
Sponsored by Chico's Subs of Atlantic City and Northfield, delivering to the whole Atlantic area, county area. I should get some free subs after that. But that's what we used to do back in the day. But way back in the day, it was about the casino big game party, and they had to advertise it as such, obviously, for reasons we've already discussed. But especially when my dad was working for the Showboat in the mid-90s, that was our big scene. Early mid-90s, big game party on Sunday, sponsored by the casino. They'd have like a celebrity guest come in. It was probably not a good environment for me and my brother when we were 8 and 6, but it's what we did. So we'd hang out all day and eat a bunch of food and watch people get drunk and scream and go crazy. And it was just a blast, man. It was awesome. And Showboat had a bowling alley too. So we would go like hit the bowling alley first. And, you know, my dad would just leave us there and tell like the manager to keep an eye on us. And we just bowl like 600 games and then go, you know, watch the Super Bowl. And it was pretty damn awesome for young kids running around in that scene.
Wow. I mean, I bet the memories that you probably created with your brother and the stories that you'll probably tell as you guys get older will be back starting with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one story, which is great, just ridiculous, but it was, I know it was second grade because I remember the teacher I got in trouble with the next day, but we were at the Super Bowl thing. And, you know, I don't know if it was like halftime, they were doing some kind of giveaway or whatever. And somebody was up on the mic and they brought an attendee of the party up to receive a prize or something. And the guy got a hold of the microphone and he started, you know, talking, and he was like rambling on and stuttering over his words and clearly just hammered. And somebody from the crowd yelled, "Hey, why don't you get this guy another drink?" And then everybody just cracks up, right? So I'm sitting there like, oh, that's funny, you know. I go into school the next day and my teacher, Mrs. Connolly, up at the front of the room, and she kind of stumbled over a word when she was, you know, teaching us. And from sitting in my seat, second grade, I yelled, "Hey, somebody get this lady another drink." And I don't know if people laughed or not, because I don't know if anybody got it. We were 8 years old or 7 years old, whatever you are in second grade. But she got it and she wasn't happy at all. So my parents were called in, I don't know, that day or the next day. And, you know, they had to explain to me why I couldn't repeat the things I heard at the casino party.
Oh, my goodness. So your pop was probably like, oh, he's a good, wholesome kid. He didn't do anything wrong.
I just, you know, I heard material and I used it. And, you know, did it get a laugh? Probably a couple. I don't know.
Life lesson, context, I get right. It's all
about yeah, exactly. Place and time. That wasn't it. But
it's like when George Costanza was eating the shrimp in the meeting, and the guy's like, "Hey, George, the ocean called. They want their shrimp, or they're running out of shrimp."
Yeah.
And then later he tried the same joke. "The jerk store called. They're running out of you."
Oh, Costanza. He's a classic. I wonder if Costanza, Jerry, and Elaine are going to Tim Watley's Super Bowl party on Sunday.
Oh man, Tim, and did they get him the recliner? Was that Watley who got the recliner?
That was the Drake. That was the Drake.
I don't even like the Drake.
Yeah. Hate the Drake. No, Watley played by the one and only.
Yes.
The one and only Bryan Cranston. I mean, that guy's incredible. Are you watching Your Honor, the new show that he's on?
I have not seen that, but I've heard about it.
Oh man, it's good.
Didn't Watney assign people roles at the party? Everybody had a job, if I remember right.
Well, Watley, I think, did. But then there was another guy, Joe Mayo. Joe Mayo had some parties. And he was a random character. I think he might have been the guy that gave the assignments out. But Watley did, too, because that was when Jerry was the DJ. He said, "I was going to get jiggy with it."
I was going to get jiggy with it. That seems like another bonus episode that shouldn't be put in the season, but maybe a Seinfeld episode should be.
I've already been talking to my buddy Ben about it. He's a huge Seinfeld fan. I mean, I'm just like sick about it. I watch an episode almost every night to go to sleep. I just put the sleep timer on and I just do laps from season one through season nine. And I start over again. And I always fall asleep, not because I'm bored, just because I've seen them 100 times each. And I just, it's my sleep aid, my TV ambient at night is putting on a Seinfeld episode.
It's your night routine.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I love it. It's my favorite show of all time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I mean, this year, usually for me, going for the game, back to the game for a second, is my buddy, shout out to my friend Sean Tone on the airwaves here. His pop, Mr. Mike Tone, used to have an awesome party where he'd invite between like 8 and 10 guys over in his, you know, Superman cave basement with, you know, his 10 TVs and his bar, and he'd set up a whole big food setup, pool table, darts, and you'd be randomly paired with another person, and that would be your teammate for the night to play in a pool tournament, a dart tournament. There'd be a block pool, there'd be a prop bet questionnaire, and then when the game would be over, everybody would stay for a poker game. And it, I think that's really what started the call out or request off for Monday morning, because you never were making it to work on Monday morning.
I mean, it'd be nice if Monday was a holiday after the Super Bowl. I tell you that, because nobody usually feels like getting up and starting the day that Monday. It's got to be it's probably like the hardest Monday morning of the year.
It is one of the Mondays of Mondays. I actually had a guy email me tonight. Hey, Matt, can we just catch up? How's 8:30 on Monday morning? I was like, hey, how about no?
Yeah, it's great. Perfect. See you there, guy.
And I'm just going to be sitting home. I mean, I got three girls now, you know, so I got a 3-month, an 18-month, and a 5-year-old. And, you know, I want to create cool memories with them. So I will definitely not be waking up super early, but I will not be getting it in like I used to.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I were to tell you, Tony, my favorite Super Bowl experience ever.
Give it to me.
I don't remember the specific year. It was the year that the Giants played the Patriots and won. I was out in Vegas. 2007. I was out in Vegas for a DJ convention. I used to be a DJ, as you know. That's obviously how we met. We got invited to a Heineken Super Bowl party. I forget what place it was, but it was in like a theater kind of thing. And it was Heineken and food. And Milo Larry with the 2-3 DJs that we were with, just hanging out watching the game. And all of a sudden, DJ Cool comes in. Let me clear my throat.
Oh, nice.
He comes in with his posse and they're hanging out. And I, you know, I'm having a drink, so I'm interacting with him. Great guy, you know, and he's from Maryland. And we start talking about different things. And before I know it, the game's over. And I'm on his limo bus with his whole crew and one of my friends. And I don't know where we're going, but I'm going to go out with DJ Cool. Who cares?
Yeah, you have to.
So
yeah.
I don't know where we went, but we got on the limo bus having drinks and we went to whatever casino and that had a club. We walk up, there's a big line, and we walk right to the front of the line. And, you know, the bouncer's kind of like, who are you? He's like, DJ Cool, let me clear my throat. And he's like, okay,
did he do it?
He did it, right? So anyway, so I'm like right on his hip, right? Because I'm like, I'm getting in this party. Like I'm just living it, you know, at the time. So I think I'm 24 at that time in my life. Yeah. So anyway, we get into the club. He goes right next to the stage, like whispers something in the DJ ear. And then the DJ cuts out, you know, whatever song he was playing and drops in, let me clear my throat. I never left DJ Cool's hip. And you know, I ran right on stage and I was his hype man, just dancing around as he's doing his song in the middle of the nightclub. It was one of the best Super Bowl nights I've ever experienced in my life.
That's a great moment right there.
I was a hype man at one point in my life.
Yeah. So that was February 3rd, 2008 the 2017 or the 2007 season Super Bowl, but played in 08. And I won, I think I won like $500 on that game. And I can't remember exactly what it was. It wasn't like a, you know, like a one-off bet. It was some kind of pool that I was in. And I just can't remember exactly what it was, but I needed the Giants to score and win at the end, which is what they did, obviously. And I won a lot of money. I remember being pumped that night. I was down in South Philly on Webster Street with my boy, Ian Faber. Who will be a guest this year on the No Code podcast. And we were having a good time at his house. He always had good he had a good setup down there in South Philly. He got in when it was kind of on the up and coming tilt, and had a great place down there that I definitely ruined a couple times. one was Oktoberfest, probably around that same time. And I just I got back to his place. And I was crashing there, and I crashed in his bathroom. I fell and lost my balance and grabbed the shower curtain and ripped down the curtain and the rod and the whole thing and fell into the tub. I think I stayed there the rest of the night. But that was Oktoberfest back when I was a younger man.
Did he call Mr. John Candy and try to get some shower curtains, some fresh shower curtains?
He may have. I'm not sure. He may have done that.
It was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles reference there.
Yeah. But man, it's always funny the kind of stuff you get mixed up in just randomly, like the story like that you just told. I mean, those are the best. Those are the best when it's not planned and stuff just happens, you know.
And we would be absolutely remiss if we haven't called out the fact that it's been 3 years on this day. 3 years ago, around this time, we were probably watching Justin Timberlake dance on stage. You know, the Eagles were leading at halftime and we were kind of a little optimistically worried. Now, we weren't together, obviously, watching the game together. But
yeah,
3 years ago, we won the Super Bowl tonight, man. What a night that was, too.
Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy. I went down to watch my dad's. We almost put together a trip, me and some of the old work crew. And it involved a private plane. And it involved about 8 or 10 of us that were going to do it. And at the end of the day, I mean, the ticket price to do it was just insane. And I do mean the ticket price to actually get in the game. Like the plane was, it was somewhat affordable. It was a big number. You know, you wouldn't do it unless it was like for the Eagles Super Bowl. But then the tickets on top of that, just about everybody backed out. I think one guy went, but not in that way. He just grabbed the flight out there and had a connection or whatever. But we almost did it. But part of the reason I didn't want to pull the trigger too was that I wanted to watch with my family. I mean, you know, my dad and my brother and Jamie and the whole crew. Like, if I'm watching the Eagles Super Bowl, which, you know, had only happened one other time in our life, I'm like, I got to be with my fam, you know. And that's kind of the way I felt about it. So we watched at my dad's house and then went out after that to his buddy Frank Vincent's place over in Lynnwood, New Jersey. Frank's a great guy. Vincent Window and Doors in South Jersey. If you're in need of any help there, I've used them. Just placed all our windows, front door.
Did you just randomly say businesses and then just hit the business with an invoice after this drop?
Yeah, exactly.
Great sponsor model. It's like one of the people that come to your curb, like, "Hey, I painted the address on your curb. You owe me $10. No, I don't.
You enter the code Vincent Window and Doors / no code podcast.
Yeah, tell him Tony sent you. tell him Tony sent you.
But Frank's got a full on like projector screen set up with like movie, like a whole home, you know, what do they call it? Home entertainment center there. And that was after the game and the champagne was flowing. And, you know, I'm calling friends I haven't talked to in like 10 years that are huge Eagles fans and like, "Yo, man, we did it. I can't believe we did it." You know, you're like crying on the phone. But
what did that we was do? Incredible. We did it. We watched
it. We did it. We won.
I'll be honest with you, man. I am on the same exact level with you in terms of the family note because in 2005, you know, I was a 21-year-old kid and all my friends were going to McFadden's downtown. And my dad's like, "Hey, let's watch the game together." I'm like, "No, Dad. I'm going to McFadden's." You know, and I went down there and obviously we lost the game and it was a bad night. Just overall, it was a sad night, you know. But yeah. About 2 years later, one of my friends that I was with, his dad unfortunately passed away. And he said to me, you know, we were playing golf or something at some point later on. And I said, "How you doing?" He goes, "Man, I just wish I was able to see the Eagles win the Super Bowl with my dad, you know, and just have more experiences. I wish I got to do that." And I always vowed that if they ever made a run like that, I'd watch every single game with him. So that was one of the coolest parts is that, you know, beginning from the first playoff game throughout Super Bowl, we watched every single game together. We had a little routine, you know, and he's the type that's the, you know, "Oh, man, they're going to lose it. They dropped the ball like the first play of the game. They suck. We're going to lose this." I'm like, "Yeah, God, let's
over.
Let's go up here." You know, speak it into reality. And then after we were done, we were living in Roxborough and the game was over. I was like, "Dad, do you want to come run up to Ridge Ave?" Because everybody was up there. That's where I was at the time. And he's like, "No, I'll stay right here. You go run up and experience it." So we went up hoot and holler and all. It was fun.
Nice. Yeah, it is all about that. I mean, that whole year, so 2017, and I apologize. I'm going to date my father right now, but he turned 70 that year, September. So my brother Paul and I, you know, we wanted to get him something nice for his birthday. And, you know, we're having trouble thinking of anything. And I'm like, "Look, he's taken us to Eagles games over the years, you know, 100 times over. Like, why don't we take him this year?" So we picked, I think it was Eagles Broncos in November. And, you know, luckily wound up being a game that they just routed them. But I think actually that was the Jay Ajayi game, that his debut as the Eagles had just traded for him. He had a big long run in the game. And the Eagles just lit him up. But we did night before, dinner, hotel, the game, the whole thing was on us. And he had a blast with it. And then I got to go, just my dad and I, which, you know, like, I'm one of four, you know, my brother Paul, my sister Dana, my little brother Mike. Like, I don't get a whole lot of one-on-one time with my dad, you know, it's just, and that's fine because it's just everybody's always around, which is great. But we decided to, I guess the NFC Championship game, I think everybody was elsewhere unable to make it. So my dad got tickets, just him and I. And we went to the, you know, the Tony Rodeo and Company tailgate, the Hamilton, the good fine Italians from Hamilton that run an amazing tailgate down there. 10% off next year for anybody that enters the no code password when you show up at the tailgate.
Invoice coming your way. Another generating revenue here. He's saying he's got four invoices already.
But you know, just him and I. And the biggest one of the best memories from that game was, you know, if you remember, the Vikings went down and they scored in the beginning of the game. And, you know, kind of to your point, had that vibe in the stadium, like, oh no, here we go. You know, another NFC Championship game at home that the Eagles are going to lose. And you know, the next big play for the Eagles was the Patrick, Patterson had the interception return for a touchdown, and the place went insane. I got so excited. I gripped Phil up by, like, you know, the shoulders. I just started shaking him. I accidentally put him on the ground. I was so juiced up, I accidentally threw my 70-year-old father onto the ground.
Man, dude, that stadium, if it had a roof, it would have blew off. And you didn't hear this. Oh, obviously, you were there. I'm sure you watched it back. But when Joe Buck, you know, the greatest announcer ever to live, as I have a big sarcastic smile on my face, yeah, you know, needs a block, gets it. Touchdown, Eagles. Oh, man, that was such a – I got chills right now thinking about it.
Yeah. And then we, you know, we hung out we stayed over that night too. And yeah, I remember after the game, we finally got back to Center City, and we couldn't find anywhere that was still open to go get another drink. We finally found a place. I forget why. I don't know why. Like, I guess, I don't know. It's just Sunday night. Just stuff's closes kind of early. But finally found a place to get a drink and just sit there and kind of bask in it, you know. And then I went to work the next day, and I had to go home around 11 o'clock because I was in such bad shape.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I know we're going to get into some prop bets in a little bit, but I wanted to ask you, do you do any of the like block pools or anything like that?
Yeah. I'm in one this year with some friends. And actually, let me look, see what my numbers are real quick. I think they sent them out. But yeah, I do the block pool. And that's something I kind of do every year. And then, yeah, aside from that, it's just maybe some of these prop bets we might talk about. You know,
I know that, like, it's crazy with the block pools, how they changed over the years. It used to be, you know, just quarter, half quarter, end of the game, you know, yeah. And there was a feed. It was kind of like a word around town now. But it seems like I must have got hit up 5 or 6 or 7 times, maybe because some of my friends know I like to be a degenerate every now and again. But, like, there's different ones now that where, you know, the neighboring blocks. And there was one guy that hit me up that called me that said that he's got a I think it was $2,500 a block. And it comes with the Super Bowl party where they raffle off all kinds of stuff and you get paid every single time there's a score change. So 0-0 automatically wins. You know, if they score a touchdown, 6-0 wins, and then 7-0 wins. And it's just like your numbers just get hit. And then which I find now fascinating is now the not-for-profits and the charities, specifically like the local T-ball teams. You know, they do like the not for, they do the block pools, but like half the money goes back to you and half goes to them. And I always look at that, like, even if I win, what am I going to take the $40? I'm going to say, no, just, you know, keep the whole thing, guys, you know, but it keeps you entertained and it helps out the kids, which is cool. So,
yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah.
How do you want to do this? I have five props here that I thought would be cool ones that maybe you and I can go. I don't know what you have, but how do you want to do this here?
Yeah, let's go through the ones that you came up with, and then we'll see maybe if there's another one or two that seem interesting. But for everybody listening, you know what a prop bet is. It's not about your conventional bet you might place on a game, which could be just the point spread. It could be, you know, who's going to win or lose by what they call the money line. It could be an over-under and total points. This is more kind of like fun and interesting bets that and sometimes don't have anything to do with the game itself, especially at the Super Bowl. So we're going to talk about some of those because, to your earlier point, Matt, if you're kind of a casual fan or you don't really have a horse in the race in terms of who you want to win, it can be just a fun way to, you know, to keep track of the game and be invested in the game. And, you know, a couple disclaimers before we start here. Number one, Matt's in Pennsylvania. I'm in New Jersey. Sports gambling is perfectly legal in both of these states, just to be clear on this. So we're not talking about anything illicit. This is a legal thing to do. And secondly, these views are our own and nobody else's, nobody in our respective organizations. This is just Matt and Tony as individuals talking about the big game on Sunday and how you might be able to have some fun with it.
And this is not, as I see all the time now on these TikTok videos and Instagram, that is not financial advice to invest in Dogecoin. That's not a financial advice. So none of these are our picks that any of you should pick.
Past results are not an indication of future performance.
Yeah. If I had a gambling name, it'd be called Come On Kryptonite. That's how much of a mush I am.
Nice. All right, let's run through your props that you like.
All right, so I picked out five. Okay. I'm gonna do this. You want to do like me versus you? Maybe, I don't know, $20 a guy and for each prop bet, and however many you win, the other person maybe has to donate that to the charity of the winner's choice. You want to do that?
Yeah, I want to do that. And I think, I don't know if you have a charity in mind. I do. So we can talk about that now or not, whatever you would prefer.
There's no code. You can decide later.
I'm going to play for Posh Pets up in Long Beach, New York. That is where we adopted our little baby girl, Darla, from back in September, late August, early September. And they're an awesome organization that has awesome people. And, you know, they're a dog rescue. They take care of, they pull in dogs from all over the place. Actually, Darla, the one we picked up, was a stray in Texas. They pulled her up north to New York, and we adopted her and gave her a home. And she's an amazing little pup. So, that's who I'm going to play for. So we can look at these five, and then I think we can either do, if you want to just do kind of like a heads up, you know, on the five. And so if I win three and you win two, you donate, $50 to Posh Pets. If I lose, I'll donate $50 to your charity. How about that? And then if it's a push, if it's like, you know, two and two, and then one comes out a push or something like that, we can make a $25 donation to each one. How about that?
That works for me, but I'm a little offended that you'd even ask me who I'm playing for. I'm just assuming that you think you're going to win. So, you don't even ask me what not-for-profit are you playing for?
Yeah. What are you playing for?
So I, was very lucky enough to be invited to be on the Unified Golf Classic Committee for the Special Olympics of New Jersey. So a friend of mine,
there you go,
Mr. Tony Giuliano, asked me to be on this golf committee for the golf outing coming up. I forget the date. I don't have it in front of me. What was that date?
Oh, man.
Have a date yet?
I don't know either.
I think it's somewhere in an email. But
It's the last Monday in September. So it'll be the 27th.
You're hosting this Garden State Unified Golf Classic. So I'm going to do that. And when I win your money, that's going to go to one of these silent auction items that we're going to donate to that, to hopefully your money makes more money for them in some other form. So that's how I'm doing it. So
that is great. And I appreciate that. So I win either way, because a donation of my charity I'm involved with will happen.
Winners win, baby.
All good.
Here we go. Let's kick it off. Let me open up my little trusty email here. Let's kick it off at the very beginning. Let's decide on, what will happen. Will it be heads or tails? Not what they'll call, but what will actually happen? What will the coin land on? I'll let you pick first. Do you think it's going to be heads, which comes in over the last 30 years as a 47%? Or do you want to go with the favorite, which is tails at 53%?
All right. You know what? I've always been a tails guy. I'm going to go tails.
Tails, as they say.
Yeah.
It never fails.
Tails never fails. Yeah.
That's right.
Tails. All right, cool.
And Tony is, so I didn't write down, I wrote Tony and I wrote down fails. So, okay, that's Tony what you got.
Fails. Tony Tails. Fails, yeah.
Tony Tails, okay. Wasn't that your nickname in the world of baseball?
It might have been. Actually, it was the mayor. My nickname was the mayor. Because people used to incorrectly call me Giuliani instead of Giuliano. And then they started calling me the mayor. And that hasn't aged well at this point because Rudy went a strange path. We'll just say
Rudy's not doing too Rudy things here, you know?
No, he's not.
I think Rudy Rudiger made it a little bit better than him.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So that's number one. So you have tails, I have heads. Number two, I have. Who will get the ball first?
Well, I chose the first one, so you should choose this one.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers of Tampa Bay to get the ball first.
Okay.
You want to know my thought process behind that?
The Chiefs. Yes, go ahead. Yes.
Here's my thought process. Apparently, I read an article somewhere, that the Chiefs love to give the ball away first. They like to be on defense first. And the Buccaneers typically like to get the ball first. So, ipso facto, I lose the coin toss. That means they get the ball either way. Let's see if that strategy works for me. Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Nice. Okay. Okay. Right. Perfect.
Number three, you're up here. This is a big one.
All right.
First commercial after kickoff. So the ball gets kicked off, whatever happens in the game there, the first time they break for commercial. Is that first commercial going to be a product or is it going to be a service?
This is a good one because in the old days, I would absolutely say product. You know, it's got to be a car commercial or a beer commercial or something like that. But we live in a high-tech world. You know, we got – it could be a – I'm thinking like a, you know, some kind of like an Amazon commercial or something on the technology service side. You know, maybe Uber or something like that. So having said that, I still like, I like product for this one. I'm thinking car or beer commercial because those companies spend big dollars on the Super Bowl. So I'm going to say product. Yeah.
Okay. Now just so we have clarity here, is the product, what if it's an insurance commercial? Insurance is all for product.
I go serve it. That it's got in my mind. It's got to be tangible product, you know. So you don't get. I mean, you get a paper with insurance, but that's in my mind. That's a service. So
did you see how Portnoy said whoever Robin Hood's major competitors are should just take out a Super Bowl commercial first yeah. one and straight come to Robin Hood.
That's great. I wonder if Barstool will have a commercial.
They might. They probably will. I mean, they're doing great things over there. I mean,
they are doing crazy stuff.
They built their business from a content producer to, merch to videos, a podcast, and to Penn Gaming shooting through the moon. Not as good as Twin River, but you know that's a different story.
Hey, you know, well, you know, Twin River is Bally's now, though. They rebranded. Yeah.
Yes. All right, so that takes us to number three. We are on our 4 of 5 here. Now this one's back to me, I guess. The
10% off at Bally's if you enter the code Matt Blank Degenerate on any one of their websites. Go ahead. Okay.
Right. My man is making money on the podcast. Got it. All right. Number four, shortest TD scored in the game. Will it be over or under 1.5 yards? So another way of saying that will there be a touchdown from the 1-yard line? Yes or no? I'm going to go with yes. I do think there's going to be a touchdown from the 1-yard line, whether it be a PI in the end zone or something happens. Another little article, that I read said something like, you know, 80% of the Super Bowls over the last 15 years or so when hit this bet when 4 or more touchdowns are scored. I think 4 or more touchdowns are going to score. So I think it's going to be under.
Okay.
MB and under. All right, sir. The last and final one.
Yeah, I will hope for, we got two passing quarterbacks in Mahomes and Brady. So I'll hope that they each, you know, hit some, 15-yard plus touchdown passes there to take that out of the equation.
Love that. Now, this last one here, this one's a multi-choice one. So it's not a yes or no or a one right. or the other way. So there's about 7 different options we can pick from.
Yeah.
So I say for these 7 options, we each pick 2, and if any of our 2 hit, then we win it. If the other 3 or other 2 don't hit, or sorry, 3 don't hit, then it's a push.
Sound okay. Good? Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
All right. So here's the last one here. What color Gatorade will be spilled on the coach? What color Gatorade will be spilled from the cooler on the coach? And by the way, shout out to Gatorade getting the invoice here in 2 weeks. All right. That one's on me. You guys, here's your options. Ready? You okay. Got first selection here in the draft. First
so
option.
So we're each choosing three, and then whatever we, or I'm sorry, we're each choosing.
No, let's do three. Let's do three and leave one out there as the
wild card. Okay? Yeah.
The wild card. All right. So here we go. The favorite color is orange at +156.
Yep.
The next one is red or pink. Then yellow, green, lime. That's one color together. So you got orange, red, pink are one color. Yellow, green, lime are one color. Then you got the clear Gatorade, which you don't know if it's Gatorade or water. Who knows? But it's clear.
Covers either. Yep.
And then we got blue.
Uh-huh.
Finally, purple as the color. And then as a wild card, they have none listed as well. Will there be none?
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Just for our rule purposes here, if they do attempt to spill the cooler and it misses the coach, that does not count as none. It means whatever color comes out of that cooler, yeah. That's what you get.
Any attempt where the color is released to the world is going to count. Okay.
All right. You get first choice here, bud.
All right. Well, first choice, I'm going to have to go with the favorite. I'll go with orange.
Orange here. All right. And since this is a snake style draft, I get to pick the next two. I'm going to go yellow, good old yellow.
Yellow.
And I'm going to go red.
Okay. All right.
Yellow and red. So you got the next two.
Okay. I'm going to go blue and clear.
Blue, clear. And then I will finish off, I guess, with purple. Leave the none for the suckers out there. But I actually will be, I will be looking into this to see if there's any articles anywhere that tells me what the Chiefs' preferred Gatorade color is, what the Buccaneers are. I mean, obviously, there's guys over in Vegas who know way more than I do when they set these odds. But I'm going
to
look
that up. Yeah, well, I got to think, the Chiefs won last year. So I would wonder, going back to last year's Andy Reid Gatorade dump, that's got to factor in here.
I mean, and the odds on these are pretty good. I mean, orange, the favorite, still +156. So that's not bad for the favorite. I mean, next one behind that is none, and the next one behind that is red at 344 or 345. I mean, that's value there on that.
Can I add like two or three to this mix of choices here?
Absolutely. You're the host, man. I'm your guest.
All right. I found a couple good ones. So first one here. How many times will Gisele Bündchen be shown? Okay. The over-under is 1.5. Now, do you want the odds on the over and the under?
No, I just want to know.
Okay. Over-under is 1.5.
I'm going to go over.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good bet. I'll take under just because we're being fair here. So I'll take the under.
1.5 times.
1.5 times.
On that television. Okay.
Yep. This is one I like too, and I think it's pretty interesting for this particular halftime performer. How many songs will be played during the halftime show? The over under is 8 songs. Sounds like a lot. However, the artist is The Weeknd, and this type of guy is probably going to do a whole lot of minute to minute and a half type remix thing, where it's going to be like a medley. If this was Pearl Jam, this would be crazy. Over under 8 songs, you'd say way under. They're going to play like three or four songs, But The Weeknd, he's going to be jumping in and out of stuff. So the over under is 8 songs. The favorite is the over. This is my choice. So you know what? I'm still going to go under. I'm going to go under 8 songs.
I love the deep breath before you did that. Okay.
And that was also in between a sip of wine.
8 songs weekend. You got it. All right.
Which tonight is Vietti, Nebbiolo.
Mm. Choice.
Passion Vines.
It's a great podcast you had last time.
10% off. Bray would honor that too. He's such a good guy. If I mentioned Passion Vines on this, he would honor it.
Oh, okay. No, there's another invoice too.
Exactly.
All right, we got there. Right. You one more.
I got one more. I like this one too. This is a fun one, and this I guess will be your choice. And this goes back to something we were talking about earlier. This bet is called the Doink Special. Will any field goal or extra point attempt hit uprights or crossbar? Granted, these odds are the yes is the favorite. The no is the favorite on this, is -590. But I don't know. I feel like with longer extra points these days, and you know, I feel like this is a possibility. So yes or no, would any kicker hit an upright or crossbar on a field goal or extra point attempt?
Well, some weather looks like it's coming in this weekend. It's in Florida. I couldn't even name who those kickers are. The uprights are, you know, you got what's the width of the uprights and the crossbar. I'm gonna go. You know what? I'm gonna root for the doink.
You're gonna root for the doink. All right.
I mean, obviously, science is telling me, hey, Matt, that's a silly bet, but I want to root for it. You know what?
It might be a silly bet, but you never know. And I feel like in big games, it's more apt to happen. Like wacky stuff is more apt to happen, you know?
Matt Blank says yes to the doink.
He's a doink guy.
The doink. All right. So we got our game here. I'm excited for it, Tony. I'm excited for the game. And I think we're going to have a fun outcome here. Oh.
Do you like that?
That like a new prop you got there?
Yeah, I got a new system here, and I'd like to press a button sometimes.
I'm glad all the sponsorships paying off. You get to reinvest back in gear for your podcast.
That's right, I do.
Very nice.
And that's what I do. Hey, listen, I forgot to tell you something before we started this, so the audience is going to have to hear this. When I say goodbye, don't click out of this thing yet, because if you do, you're going to lose your whole audio. I'll tell you when it's safe.
Okay. I'm here all night. Whatever you tell me to stop.
Oh, no. It's just got to load the hook. It's a whole thing. Never mind. Anyway, listen, everybody. Thank you for listening tonight. This was a lot of fun. Special one-off bonus episode with Matt Blank, the No Code Podcast. Again, no illegal activities here. We're just a couple guys having fun talking about prop bets. The winner of these head-to-head legal prop bets is going to donate to the other person's charity, so there's no money changing hands between the two of us. But everybody, have an awesome Super Bowl Sunday. Roger, come get me if you want, Roger. It's the Super Bowl on Sunday. We're talking about it. We had a great time tonight. Matt, thanks again. You're the man. Love having you on.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you. Enjoy the game.
All right. Take care. Thanks, everybody.